I think that's an important part of finding something that you love to do, is finding something that is constantly challenging you, where you're constantly learning. And complacency sucks. Complacency is where we lose inspiration. It's when we don't want to get out of bed in the morning because there's nothing changing, there's nothing evolving. The reason that I've worked so hard at this career path is because it is the ultimate freedom.
Welcome to the Open Exploration Podcast. I'm on a mission to connect with rule breakers, dream makers, and all around inspiring people to explore the possibilities for living a vibrant and honest life on my own terms. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Kat James. When we left off last episode, Kat was telling us about the beginnings of her career as a tattoo artist and some of the foundational relationships that have helped to form the person she is and her views on life. Today, we get to hear about the many adventures and twists and turns and surprises that have led her to where she is today. She also tells us about a huge and surprising moment of clarity that led her to painful realizations and challenging conversations, but also to an honest and life-affirming path forward. So without further ado, my conversation with Kat James. Placing ourselves back in Sayulita, You were hand poking, You loved it. Where'd you go from there?
So Sayulita's a very small, beautiful town. However, it's not built, the infrastructure is not built for as many people as live there now. And so the cleanliness of the water is
questionable.
That's an understatement, yeah. I would say. Pretty much everyone I've known that goes to Sayulita gets sick when they go in the water there. Luckily, we knew because of Karen, our roommate, that that was the case. So we would drive to go surf. And it just got, like, annoying. We were like, we moved to Mexico to live in a beach town so and that we could just be right there. Yeah. And now we were driving to the beach anyways because the water's dirty. And there's just a lot of people. It's very, very gentrified. And we were experiencing a clash between the local population and the people that were coming to enjoy that place because so many new foreigners were coming in and buying land and then turning them into Airbnbs that none of the locals could afford to live there. And a lot of our friends, because of Karen and because Kellen started working at the jiu-jitsu gym, like right down the street from our house, we were friends with a lot of the locals. And then we were also kind of friends. We kind of had connections with a lot of the newer people that were there through like yoga and like other kind of things that we were doing and surfing and stuff. So it was hard. It just like, we kind of got sick of it and we wanted to just be out of there. So for Christmas, I think we were like, we need to get out of here for Christmas. It's going to be nuts. So we took a road trip down south and found this surf beach that was recommended to us. And after spending the holidays there, we were like, let's go back to Sayulita, get all our stuff, move out, and just live out of the 4Runner on this beach. And so we pretty much did that for a couple months. And it was like adult summer camp, dude. It was brilliant. We camped. We walk around in the morning as the sun was rising over the river mouth and the waves are insane. And we'd go find a coconut, crack it open, blend it in our blender and heat it up and make like the best fresh coconut milk coffees. And then we'd go watch the surf and then wait for the waves to get good. And we'd go on day adventures sometimes, like caravan out to place. It was like one of the happiest like chunks of time that I ever spent in my life. And then we kind of got to a point where we needed to like go back to, you know, I don't know.
You can't live at summer camp forever.
You can't do that, unfortunately. You can. I think there is ways. But yeah, at that time, I think both Kellen and I were, I mean, we were young, like 20. I want to say that was in 2016 or something like that. We had more things to do. Mm-hmm. We had dreams that we wanted to, you know, I wanted to get an apprenticeship for tattooing and machine tattoo. I didn't know what that was going to look like. And we both wanted to make something for ourselves and build careers that we could then go do summer camp forever after, right? That, you know, whatever. And so, yeah, it was time to go back. Our visas were about to expire. So we drove back to California and we decided to go our separate ways at that time. And that was when I was like, I am finally going to Australia. I had been talking about living abroad, not just traveling, not just going for 6 months, mm-hmm. but like actually moving and living abroad for pretty much my entire college. Kellen didn't want that. He wanted to stay in San Diego. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to like go do the whole thing. My mom at that time asked, you know, can you put off moving to Australia? Because, you know, we have this family trip that your grandfather really wants to take us all on. And, you know, like we've talked about, we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know how much longer mm-hmm. he's going to be around. We would love to have like one last big family vacation together. I knew that was important. So I put off those plans. I was like, cool, well, I'm not going to rent my own place. I'm just going to stay at home. So I stayed at home for a few months before that trip. Ended up going and planning, instead of going home after that, went to Barcelona for a couple weeks and traveled alone for a bit and had the freaking time of my life. And then when I came back to San Diego, Kellen and I kind of reconnected and we were like, okay, we need our independence. Strangely enough, at that time, I got a message on Instagram. So I was still doing hand poke, right? And I'm doing it in San Diego. I got a message on Instagram. Hey, Kat, do you remember me? We met on a plane like a year ago. You told me all about your hand poke and I really want to get one. I haven't found an artist that does it. When's the next time you're coming to Oahu? And I was like, I'm not. Like, I don't really have any plans. Yeah, sorry. I'm in San Diego if you're ever here, whatever. He goes, what if I bought your tickets? What if I paid for your tickets to come to Oahu? And I'm like, oh God, is this? So I'm kind of like, you know, there's a piece of your mind that's like, oh, is this sketchy?
Right.
But I was like, no, this guy, he was so nice to me on the plane. He was a dad. He had kids back in Oahu. And this wasn't out of the blue. He told me on that plane that he had all these collections of tattoos. They weren't like, I wouldn't say the tattoos were weird, but the situations in which he got them, they were all like novelty experiences. Like he got them traveling or this or that. And he was in some form of the armed services based out of Oahu. And so I was like, yeah, you know what?
It feels right.
Life is handing me a gold nugget. And if I don't take that, that is slapping the universe in the face. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And he goes, great. If you come during this time, I'll take you to the tattoo convention also. So I book a 4-day trip. He pays for the whole thing. I hit up my girlfriend on Oahu. She lives in North Shore. And I'm like, hey, Nikki, can I come stay with you for like 4 days? She's like, yeah, dude, all my friends want hand pokes. Like, let's freaking go.
It's going to be a busy 4 days.
Yeah, let's go. So I get there. I spend some time with her friends hand poking them. I had rented a car, too, because I was like, dude, this is paid for and I'm getting paid. Like, let me use some of that for the, you know, I can break even and be stoked. And on the day before I'm supposed to leave, I am at Waimea. We're watching these huge 25-foot sets come in and these massive, like, big wave surfers just crush it. And we go back to my car and I'd lost my key to my rental car.
Like on the beach?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Bye.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, great. So now I have to figure that out before tomorrow, before I have to go So I was really stressed out that whole night. And I eventually had called someone to come out super early in the morning to replace the key. Long story short, I just felt like I had now spent a couple $100 more that I wasn't anticipating. So I was like, okay, well, now I have this extra expense and then this opportunity to make more money if I just stay a couple more days, you know, because more people wanted hand pokes. So I was like, you know what? I don't have anything to get back for. Kellen's in South America. I'm not hurrying to get back to San Diego and I'm just gonna stay. I have no reason to leave. So I stay a couple more days. And during that time, one of Nikki's friends offers, hey, do you want to stay in Oahu? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, good question.
Well, I was here for 4 days. Now I'm here for seven days.
Keep in mind, I have clothes packed for 4 days also. So like the more time I spend there, I'm like, So yeah, so she's like, well, you know, I have an extra room in my house. I'd be willing to rent it to you for $500 a month. And again, I was like, okay, I'm not even allowed to say no to that.
Right.
$500 a month. Everyone's jaw hits the floor. Like, what? That actually happened? I was like, yeah, I'm not making that up. And so I jumped on it. Of course. She had like a little cute place in Haleiwa. So it's still on North Shore, close to everything. She even was like, yeah, I have a truck. Like if you ever need to use the car, you know, I was like looking around, like, you know, those moments that something happens and you look around, and you're like, is anyone seeing this right now? Like, yes. is this real? So it was that. And so, yeah, so I decided to start staying there. During that time, that month, Nikki and I, she's very wild, free spirited like I am. We've been friends for a long time. She and I were talking about how much I want to go to Australia. She had lived there previously. So we start conjuring up this plan. What if we did content creation for a month? She couldn't stay for longer than a month, but I was like, I'm going to buy a one-way ticket to Australia. We're going to rent a van for a month. So we did that. I bought a one-way ticket. We rent a van for a month. We go do all this photography and we put together pitch books, kind of like how I did down Baja on our way to Sayulita. Mm-hmm. And we put together all these pitch books for brands and we're going to pitch just some content creation stuff. Do that the first month, hop around all the East Coast towns in Australia, figure out where I want to stay. Then she leaves me there. We return the van and I, whatever, trying to finally get to Australia.
Yeah.
And then of course, like 2 weeks before we're supposed to leave, COVID hits. So that's where we were at. All this like great planning, all this stuff. And now is the world going to end? Like, everyone knows how they felt during that time. Cause It feels like it wasn't, I mean, now it's been over 2 years. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but yeah. So she and I both obviously dropped that. And at first it was a cool feeling to be like, oh yeah, at least we're on Oahu and North Shore. Like,
right.
During
good
this
place to get
it
stranded.
Very quickly turned into get me the F off this island. Like, I don't want to die here. None of my people are here. Like, yeah, Nikki was my close friend, but my family was in San Diego. Kellen was God knows where. And so Kellen and I connect and he's like, well, I'm in the Galapagos and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out of here. There's maybe a flight or two left that are leaving. And if I leave, I don't want to go back to San Diego. And I was like, yeah, well, me either. He's like, let's go back to Mexico, back to that same beach. And so we're like, yeah, that's the plan. So he gets on the very last flight out of there. There was 3 seats left on that flight. Oh, and he gets there. He goes, I made the flight. I'm going to Mexico. Meet me there. I'll get a place. I'll get a car. We'll just share those things and ride this out and see what happens. So then I am like, cool, I'm on it. I'm heading there too. And I cannot find my ID anywhere because a friend, right before we find out about COVID, a couple friends had come from Kauai to hang out with us. And me having only 4 days worth of clothes and borrowing clothes from people all the time. So I borrow his flannel, put my ID in his flannel, and he goes back to Kauai. San Diego to Hawaii, you don't need a passport. So I only had my ID on me. So that driver's license was my only form of identification.
Meanwhile, the government is like
shutting down. Nothing's working. I can't get there. I couldn't get a replace. There's nothing. And so I'm like, oh my God, I'm like actually stuck on this freaking island. And thank God we thought fast enough where I called my mom. I was like, Mom, I know this is sketchy, but I need you to ship me my passport. I mean, that was the only way.
I mean, you're already stuck at this point. Like, if your passport gets lost, that sucks, and you'll figure that out.
Mm-hmm. So get my passport, thank God. Fly my ass back to San Diego, pick up, like, 3 surfboards and, like, all the other stuff I wanted to get, and then fly down to Mexico. And, I mean, talk about summer camp for adults. All the people, it seemed like all the people we had met over the last couple years in Mexico all got the same freaking idea. And everybody rushed there. There was like maybe 30, something between 30 and 40 of us. And half of us already knew each other
that
from past
wild.
Summers. It was wild. It was unreal. And this really, really cool couple that Kellen ran into in the Galapagos on this past trip, Swami and Paul, they are from Canada originally, but they've been living in Australia for a long time. Now they live in Tasmania. But they were living in Australia at that time. So there's people from Australia. There's people from Spain. There's people from France. There's people from Canada. There's Kellen and I. There was so many people from all over the place. And it was literally adult summer camp for 3 months. It was the best 3 months of my life. All we did was surf and play chess and draw. Yeah.
Wild.
It was epic. I did a couple hand poke tattoos. Not a whole lot, but just a few. And same kind of thing happened. Like, it got to the point where, okay, COVID is not going to be the end of the world quite yet. And I still haven't done this freaking tattoo apprenticeship. And I can't go to Australia to do that anymore. After having been in Barcelona, that was another place I would have considered living. So can't go anywhere. Have to stay in the States, basically. So I was like, all right, well, you know, Kellen, we've been doing this whole thing for like 7 years. Like, let's, you know, I want to pursue my apprenticeship. You want to get your black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's been working on it since we pretty much met. Let's, you know, have a good level of independence within our relationship that we've been building and finally commit to this. And we weren't on the same page, like, at all. And he was like, no, I actually, like, want a break. And that sucked. Wasn't mentally prepared for that, but also was so adamant about pursuing tattooing and me that I didn't even want to deal with it. And the first thing I could think of was, I just need a week away from San Diego. I can't even, like, think about this right now. So I had a friend that had come out to Denver a couple months before me while I was in Hawaii. He moved out to Denver. And so I called Jake and I'm like, hey, can I just come visit you for a week? And he's like, yeah, totally. But come in, like, a month, because I am going to be, like, working a lot and all stuff. So in that month that I'm planning to go visit him, he's like, yeah, by the way, I'm still going to have to work while you're here a little bit. But just, you know, plan some stuff to do. So I'm like, oh, well, perfect. I'll get tattooed. That's, like, one of the best mm-hmm. ways to learn about tattooing without having someone teach you is watching someone mm-hmm. do a tattoo and feeling it at the same time, like, having all of the senses be a part of that experience. And in the process of looking for a tattooer that I wanted to get tattooed by, I come across AJ at Dead Drift, and this little light clicks, and I entertain the idea, what if I just start over my whole life in Denver? And I ran with it. I'm almost spontaneously committed to the idea, like, as it came into my head. I was like, cool, done. I'm going to apprentice for this guy at this shop. I'm going to move to Denver. I'm going to sell all my stuff. This is what I'm doing. Like, I'm committed. I'm moving on. I'm not going to let this thing with my partner stop me from doing this thing I've been trying to do. No more roadblocks. Full send. Just decide. I use that, basically, that week trip as to suss out everything. I'm going to find a place while I'm there. I'm going to lock in this apprenticeship. Maybe I'll even find, like, a coffee shop job so that I can, because, you know, I don't get paid during an apprenticeship or whatever. And then, yeah, pretty much did that. Just went out there, got tattooed by AJ, asked him for an apprenticeship. He said no, like, so many times. And I was like, well, I'm moving here in a month, even though nothing was in place to do that. I was just committed. I was like, I'm moving here in a month, so I want to, like, maybe I can just work here. Maybe I can get partially mentored by another artist in your shop, but also just be under you. And I was pitching every which way. Every time he said no, I came up with more reasons why he should take me on.
Did you feel deflated when he said no the first time? Like, you had this whole plan?
You know what's so funny is I don't know where I got this spark of confidence or whatever was going through my head. I think it was, like, just a reaction that I had to being so rejected in my emotional life that I would not let it happen again. And I just wasn't willing to even entertain it at all. It
didn't even, like, pass through your brain of, like...
And, you know, I think, I'm not sure about this. I'd have to think more about decision-making things in my life, but I've always been a person that when I'm confronted with something really fast, like the fight, flight, or, like, freeze thing, immediately I'm, like, fight and ready to come up with a solution to the problem, like, right away. And then I deal with the emotional effects later. And so that was kind of that point. I was getting tattooed by him and he's telling me, you know, oh, I do this, blah, 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 with my apprentice. And I was like, wait, what? I didn't even think he might already have an apprentice.
Like, no, I have this whole plan. That doesn't fit into my plan.
Okay, I was like, wait. And it was funny because this thing popped into my head. The same friend that called me 4 years later and was like, oh my God, you always were a like person that same friend, he used to say, he's so funny. He's like, oh, look at this girl. She's so beautiful. I want to talk to her. I'm like, dude, that girl has a boyfriend. And he would go, speed bump. He's like, that doesn't mean I can't get there. It just means it's going to be a little harder. Right. And so that was the first thing that came into my head as I'm getting tattooed. And AJ says, you know, my apprentice, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, crap, speed bump. I was like, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Head, you know, blinders on, we got this.
Small challenge, yeah, we're just gonna hop on over.
We're just gonna, and you know, I think it was just an aftermath of kind of like adrenaline after, like, mm-hmm.
just the
adrenaline. Maybe that was it. Just I was on one. I don't know. So anyways, it didn't faze me. I was like, well, can I at least leave my portfolio with you? The Old Soul New Tricks portfolio. And he's like, yeah, of course, I'll take a look. So I stay there in Denver for a couple more days than I had planned to. That night, I went and met two guys off Craigslist who I ended up living with for the next, mm-hmm. like, 6 or 8 months or however long I lived there in Reno. That place was another golden nugget from the universe. That place was like $600 a month in Rhino.
What?
I know.
That's wild.
The universe was like, it's okay. Keep
you
going.
You can do it. You can do it. Yeah. Speed bumps, but we got
speed
you.
Speed bump. A lot of speed bumps, but here's some extra little boosts, you know? It was funny because I needed a couple more days. I needed to buy myself a couple more days, but I couldn't stay with Jake. And I didn't really know. I didn't know anybody else there. I get a message on Instagram. Freaking Instagram. I can't tell you how grateful I am for how strangely connected we all are because of that thing. I get a message on Instagram from this guy. So rewind back to 2016, maybe 2015. Kellen and I had been traveling through. We lived in Guatemala for a while and worked there at a hostel for like 6 weeks. And right before we had started that contract, he flew home to go to a wedding. And during that time, my mom and my sister came out to Central America to meet me. We travel a little bit, go to Belize. My mom leaves and me and my sister go to this island in Belize for one day. And during that one day, this guy shows up at the hostel. Gorgeous, super cool. He tells us he's been riding his motorcycle from Canada to the tip of South America. And I was just like, oh my God, you're like so cool. And, you know, I'm just dreamy eyed at this, you know,
adventure.
Yeah. Like
beautiful
dream, like life right now, just full freedom, just, you know, adventure, whatever. So we connect on Instagram and then I never hear from the guy again. And I honestly kind of forgot about him. And then here I am in Denver 5 years later and I get a message from him because I had been posting a lot like, oh, I'm in Denver for the week, like blah, 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 whatever. And he goes, welcome to Denver. And I'm like, what?
I thought you were in like Ushuaia, Argentina.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
I'm like, wait a second. You're the guy that I, is this the same person? Like, what are you? He's like, yeah, I live in Denver now. I've been here for a couple years. And I'm like, that's freaking wild. Like, what are the chances? And he goes, yeah, I mean, I know that we don't know each other that well. And I hope this isn't come off as weird, but if you need somewhere to stay while you're here, like, I know you don't know anybody here. Like, you can definitely crash at my place. I have an extra room in my house. And I was like, dude, the universe right now. I just couldn't even, I was like, hands up. Like,
yeah.
I'm supposed to be here maybe? I don't know what's going on. So I'm just like, all right, let's fucking roll. He's now like one of my good friends here. And so, yeah, so I stay with him a couple days, get my portfolio back from AJ. He still is like, I'm sorry. I wish I could help you on this journey in tattooing because your work goes really well with tattooing. It will translate very well. I just don't have the capacity right now. My wife, we just found out she's pregnant. I just bought a new house. I run this whole tattoo shop. Like, I can't. And I was like, look, I will not be a infringement on your time. I will be a asset to you. I can help run the website. I can help run the social media. I was completely self-taught in hand poke. I observe and I learn a lot from watching. I will ask you when I need to ask you, but I won't. I promise you, you won't feel like it's an exhaustion to like teach me this. And he was like, all right, let's just keep talking. I know you're going to be here in a month. Like, let's figure it out. So we keep talking over email kind of shortly here and there. And oh, and also when I reached out to him to get an appointment, I forgot this little piece. He had no availability except for one cancellation during the time that I was going to be there. Just throwing that out there. So anyways, we were kind of going back and forth and I at one point had sent him this really long email like, here's all the responsibilities I can help take care of with you. These are the only things I'm asking in return, blah, 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 blah. And like a week before I leave to drive back to Colorado to actually move here, he emails me, all right, we're doing this. Yeah, just when you get here, we'll figure it out. Come whatever day you get here, let me know and you'll come into the shop and we'll talk more. I ran around the house like a freaking 8-year-old little kid screaming. No one was home. It was so crazy. I was like, oh my freaking God. It was like, I didn't actually believe that this would happen, you know? Because like you said, even when he had that apprentice and I wasn't deterred. I was like, it was a fake it till you make it kind of situation. Yeah. Where I like was just hoping for the best. But like, what did I have to lose?
Right.
The whole fucking dream that I had for myself and my future was totally gone. Because I thought I would spend the rest of my life with this person and have that life. Mm-hmm. And I was rewriting everything and I had nothing to lose. So when that moment happened, I was elated. So yeah, then I drove out here. That was October 8th, 2020. Started working at Dead Drift, I think maybe like the 15th or 16th. And yeah, that's how I got here.
That is wild. It's really cool to me too, hearing you talk about that process of like, you weren't taking no for an answer. You were like very persistent and knew like, you are an amazing fit for me. I want you to be my teacher. I want to make this happen. Mm-hmm. But you also like listened to the boundaries that he was setting and saying like, I don't have time for that. Like, I don't have energy to give you. You weren't like,
it was
driving
a negotiation.
And,
yeah.
And like, and how can we make this mutually beneficial?
Totally. And I think it's worth mentioning too, I had the idea that AJ would be a good mentor for me based on Instagram. It was like based on the fact that he would post about fishing and about his family. So I was like, cool, that means a work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And then he's posting like really amazing work that was pretty similar to my style already. So I knew that I wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be, I would be learning right along the lines of what I wanted to and what he felt comfortable teaching someone. So it just, he felt like a perfect fit, but it was, you know, I didn't know.
Right, you've spent like a couple hours.
It was a
with
huge risk. I mean, both of us were taking a huge risk on each other, but just trusting that, like, I think this is going to have a good return on investment. I mean, 2 years later, I definitely 100% feel like that was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life and the best risks I've ever taken, as far as like having faith in a person. I hope he feels the same way about me. And I think he's a really good communicator, and I do think he does feel that way. So yeah, it turned out to be really cool.
And what was that experience like? I know you were saying like tattooers are pirates and every apprenticeship is totally different, but what was that process like for you to get to learn and move to the point where you could actually tattoo real humans?
Yeah. So I think different than most, because I had spent so much time as a freelance artist, that I already understood so much of the business side of it, mm-hmm. and working one-on-one with clients and that process of, you know, so it was really the bulk of learning to tattoo was the tools and the resources and the way you go about that specific interaction of tattooing someone. So like the business around it, thank God, like well, that already had kind of dialed in. And so the biggest time spent was on watching AJ tattoo. I think I watched him tattoo for probably 5 months or so. Every single tattoo he did for 5 months, I was behind him watching it. And then I would clean the shop and do paperwork for the other artists. And it was rough. I think the rough part about it wasn't, my relationship with AJ was amazing and he always had my back. The tough part about that was the culture of tattooing. There's this like strange, I don't even know what to call it, like unspoken expectation that you have to like earn your grit and
like, we're not going to treat you well until you've earned it.
Kind of. Yeah. And not everybody in the shop was like that. Only a few people were, but the few people that were, it really ate away at me. And I think a lot of people maybe perceived me as being entitled, or like thinking that I was better than other people, when in reality I knew that I didn't know anything about this world. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew about art and I knew about people and I knew hand poke. I like, you know, that amount of it, sure, but not being in a shop, I'd never worked among other people. I mean, yeah, I had restaurant jobs and stuff, but any of my art pursuits were not communal. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on that because I think that's in every workplace you're trying to fit in, right?
Any group of people anywhere, right? There's going to be some tension and some clashing personalities.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, just I was watching a lot of tattoos and then I was drawing. The key part to my success was I was drawing every freaking day. And I had when I got here, even outside of tattooing, my routine looked like waking up super freaking early between 5:30 and 6 every morning, going to the gym, coming back, studying Spanish, or eventually that changed to French for some. I was on one. playing chess?
No.
And playing chess, like, every morning. I was, like, studying. I have books and just nerding out on stuff. And on the days that I went to the tattoo shop, I'd spend the whole day at the tattoo shop, 11:30 to 7. I was there. I was the first one there, pretty much, and most often the last one to leave. And on the days that I wasn't tattooing, I think I went to like the climbing gym and just worked out, and maybe like I started hanging out with one of my mom's old friends. My mom actually moved here to Colorado when she was about my age. Hmm. We have a bunch of weird like synchronistic things that we did at the same kind of times in our lives. So she had a friend up in Boulder, and so I would spend time with her on the weekends and go on hikes and stuff. But other than that, I was drawing so freaking much, and I was posting all of it. So I was posting it on Instagram. And when I started, because I knew how to use my Instagram and my marketing, and because I was branding myself as Old Soul New Tricks and doing all of that work, and I had already kind of developed a style because of all my time as a graphic designer, people started catching on that I was going to be a tattooer soon. And so people were hitting me up. Hey, I really want to get tattooed by you. And I'm like, sorry, I'm like, I don't even have
I don't know how to tattoo
yet. I don't know how to tattoo yet. These are just drawings, you know? And so I was like, but I can put you on like a wait list, I guess. So I started accumulating this wait list. And I then, I guess, like 4 or 5 months in, whatever, I don't know the timeline exactly, AJ's like, all right, are you ready to like tattoo something for the first time? So I tattoo like an orange or two. And then he's like, all right, do you want to tattoo yourself? And I was like, oh my God. So I spend weeks designing the tattoo for myself. I remember designing something that was way too intricate, and then coming to the realization that I needed to do something more simple. And when I did and came to him and said, hey, I actually decided to change, he goes, good. I was hoping you would come to that decision.
What
I
a didn't, great mentor.
Oh my God. I can't speak enough on how well he judged the best way to teach me, and half the time was letting me learn things on my own and knowing that if I got to a point where he needed to step in and say something, he 100% would. We communicated really clearly and really well, and we were really honest with each other about all kinds of stuff. And I pride myself on being someone that is always open to criticism if it's constructive, is the word I was looking for. I try to be as unoffendable as possible and not take things personally. And especially in the tattoo world and art, you have to have thick skin. If you can't, you're in the wrong freaking business.
Yeah, and you're probably not going to progress very far.
You're not going to make it. You're just not. And so I think our relationship as mentor and apprenticeship was like a really good line of him trusting what I could learn on my own, but then also stepping in when it was important and saying what he had to. So did my first tattoo on myself.
What did you end up choosing?
It's a flower on the like outside of my knee. And the moment that I'm about to put the machine into my leg, my hand was freaking shaking. You've never seen anything shake as I couldn't even see my hand. It was vibrating so hard. And he just looks at me, he's like, and there was like people around like watching, and I was like, you guys, I'm in so much pressure right now. I just can't even
have like a private moment. Like,
Jesus Christ. And he's like, just go. And so I go and I pull the first line, and it was like, oh, kind of like a little bit wiggle. But I've done enough hand poke and other art that I knew how to, I mean, so much of being a good artist is being able to fix things. And so, you know, go right back over that line. It's kind of fine. And once I got into it, the flow state like came, honestly, in that first tattoo. And it was just like, okay, yeah, like, you know what you're doing. It was just the nerves, dude. The nerves will get you every time. It's funny. I've also seen it when I tattoo people. If people are sitting in a chair and they're like, oh, this hurts. That's their narrative in their head. They're either saying that out loud, they're struggling, they're tensing their body. Their skin, where I'm tattooing, gets more raised and gets more red than if someone that's chilling, sitting there like just breathing. You know, they're not sitting there like nothing. I mean, there is people that sit there like nothing's happening. That happens all the time. But even just a person that's like not reacting, their skin, your skin reacts parallel to your mind. I've seen it happen so many times. It's not a coincidence.
I don't know what science has to say about that. I don't even know if I care. It's just, it's really cool to know how powerful we are.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah, so I do my first tattoo on myself. And then, funny enough, the motorcycle guy that I met in Belize that lives here now, he introduced me to a friend, Maggie. And Maggie ends up being my first person that I tattoo. And
what tattoo did you do on her?
I did, it was just like a flower, but it was like on her calf. I was so nervous too to do that one. And she changed that. She made that experience for me. She was like, Kat, stop being nervous. I literally don't care what it looks like. I'm just so like enthralled to be your first tattoo. Like,
that is kind of an honor.
Oh my God. It was like, she made that experience for me. She totally helps ease me into that like space where it was like, don't let the mental pressure get to you and make you nervous. Just get into it. Same thing. I mean, the first couple lines were a little bit nerve wracking, but once I got into it, I was into it. And that tattoo looks great. I never touched it up. Like,
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He like found that flow and, and got to enjoy it.
Yeah. So I think I did two other tattoos for friends, like for free after that. But dude, when I didn't even have to open my books. I had 2 months worth of a wait list.
That's like unheard of. I mean, I don't really know, but
I don't know either, to be honest with you. I don't know how people start that, but I literally have, I don't even like take walk-ins ever. I've done like maybe three the entire time I've tattooed because my books have been completely full. I know, and I'm proud of myself because I did this, but it's not like I knew that was going to happen. It's because I was drawing and posting on Instagram before. It's because of marketing. It's because of branding. That's literally the reason that I am so successful in my business, is because of those two pieces that I already knew so well. So I came in with like a huge fucking tool.
Yeah.
That perfectly aligned with what I wanted to do.
It is cool to think about all those intermingling pieces. You know, to be a successful tattoo artist, you need to be a great artist. You need to be able to draw. You need to be able to tattoo beautiful tattoos. But there's all these other pieces to it. I love like looking back on somebody's story and recognizing like you needed all of those pieces. Like if you had gotten an apprenticeship right out of college, you would have missed out on something huge.
Oh, yeah. I would not be even close to the tattoo. I would not even be close to the level of success that I've had in tattooing if it wasn't for my background in graphic design and marketing.
Yeah. All those years of like doing seemingly something totally separate.
Well, it's funny too, because there was not a second of my time as a graphic designer in school that I didn't love it. Once I got out into the real world and was doing a bunch of work that I didn't want to do, but I had to do for money, that sucked.
Yeah.
And I told myself I never would do that again. And so that's another big thing that I've used to push myself in my art, is the more art I put out, and it kind of goes back to that niche thing too. My art, the specific style that I like to do, instead of trying to do realism and this and that and the other types and fine line and all this stuff, I dabbled a little because, and actually I have to thank AJ for that. He encouraged me to do a lot of different styles at first. He's like, it's okay if you eventually find your place in your niche, but like make sure that you have the skill set to do those things just in case, and be a well-rounded artist, and then you can go.
Yeah, you don't need to put yourself in a box before you.
So that's awesome, because I can do a bunch of that kind of, you know, I'm not going to say I can do realism, and I don't think I would ever sign up for that, but, you know, there's qualities of that kind of work that aren't, like, terrifying to me because of that.
So what is your style, and what are some things that you really love to tattoo?
Yeah, good question. I think I've finally gotten to a place where I'm pretty clear on that for now. I mean, it's always going to evolve. But right now, I like to call my style boho traditional. It's kind of like bohemian American traditional blend. I think the bohemian part comes from maybe like the actual things that I'm tattooing and also the color palette. Earth tones, subtle. And then the American traditional side comes from this bold line work that is simplified down. It's funny because American traditional has a similar quality to graphic design in the sense that you have to simplify a complex figure into its most important parts so that it's recognizable and stylized, but it doesn't have extra, you don't need all the extra stuff, right? Because it's not going to translate. The medium that you're using is something that's in time going to change because it's on skin. So lines get a little thicker. Your skin is not like a solid surface. It spreads and changes and it bends. That amount of simplification, which is required for a tattoo to live a long time and still look like it looked when you first got it, it kind of overlaps with graphic design, which I think that's why my work translated so well. There's also an amount of characteristics of neo-traditional that I've come to like a lot, which is the fine line work. So a lot of American traditional tattoos, you'll see like very bold line work and then bold, simplified color palette. And in my work, I use those bold lines, but a lot of time I'll bring in a fine line to add in detail. The dimension that adds is something that looks really unique. And I think that's the combination of all of those things is my style. I do a lot of, I call them she creatures. They're like mermaids, but sometimes they have like different kinds of fins or like whatever. But mostly they're tattooed. So like the micro tattoos on the body of a tattoo.
I love those ones. I know I've looked at your Instagram.
Yeah. What's become my favorite thing about those, which is so funny because it was a total accident. But one of the times that I went to go do a tattoo like that, one of the she creatures with tattoos, we size it up. I go make the stencil. I bring it over. I put the stencil on her. I set up my machines and I start going. And she goes, "Wow, that's so cool. You're going to freehand all the tattoos." And I was like, oh no. Frick. Like,
you just didn't have the tattoo, like the mini tattoos I use
Procreate for most of my tattoos now. And at the beginning, AJ was making me hand draw everything, which thank God he did that. So I have all the pieces of the tattoo in layers. And so, you know, you combine some of the layers and you just want the stencil. You don't print out the whole freaking like design. You just want the stencil. Yeah. Forgot to have the tattoos in the stencil. And I was just like, there's no way you can't go back and you can't add that.
Like line back up a stencil.
No. And it's so fine. I couldn't even go in and freehand it with a Sharpie because it just wouldn't work. And so I was like, yeah,
totally. This was 100% the plan.
Oh God. I was like, sweating. I was like stressing so hard. And of course, so I'm like, well, you know, one thing at a time, just get the stencil on, you know, figure out the stencil. So the stencil's done and I'm like, okay, here we go, freehanding. So I had planned out the tattoos, right? Like I had the drawing next to me and I start basically freehanding them but using my reference. Mm-hmm. That was the best one I had done ever, that because so they cool. fit so much more organically and I could make improv adjustments on the spot. And I was like, oh, I'm doing this from now on. So ever since then, I don't stencil any of the tattoos. I just freehand them all. And it's the most fun part ever.
That is so cool.
I enjoy it. It looks better. It's fun to see how much I still learn on a daily basis. I literally learn something new every single day. I think that's an important part of finding something that you love to do, is finding something that is constantly challenging you, mm-hmm. where you're constantly learning. And complacency sucks. Yeah. Complacency is where we lose inspiration. It's when we don't want to get out of bed in the morning because there's nothing changing. There's nothing evolving. It's not a good place to find yourself.
Well, you talked a little bit at the beginning about kind of finding this work-life balance and that always having been a value for you, like looking back at your 21-year-old self, and also that your workload is just huge. I know you've been putting some thought into that, and that your life in the last we had actually scheduled to do this last week, mm-hmm. and like due to lots of unforeseen events and changes, we shifted to this week. And as we both trusted, it was like way better. So
super
catch
aligned.
Me up on what's been going on in your life.
So I know a lot of people that follow my Instagram know about the car accident that I got into. And so first of all, so many people reached out and brought me to tears in like the best way. I couldn't fathom how much like support I had from people that, I mean, yeah, people that I've tattooed and developed relationships with, but people that I've never met before. And the amount of grace and understanding and like, dude, take care of yourself. It's okay. Like tattoos can wait. You know, your mental health is more important than that. And, you know, if you need a car, call me. If you need a ride, call me. I don't want to get too much into the accident, but I was hit by a drunk driver on I-70 and was spun out of control, shattered the back windshield of my car, popped a tire, slammed into the sidewall, spun across all four lanes, and smashed into the median. Car completely totaled, couldn't even get the key out of the ignition. And honestly, one of the weirdest things that came to my mind right after it happened was, wonder what cool, crazy thing this is going to have. You know, I knew immediately, because so many times in my life I've had things seemingly go wrong, quote unquote, and direct domino effects of that thing happening are things that would have never happened that are like totally beautiful. So I mean, I had this weird feeling in my mind that something was going to come of it. And I've always kind of been a person that's like, oh, Kat, like, how are you? Oh, I'm good. You know, a bunch of shitty stuff's going on, but like, I'm good. Like, mm-hmm. life's good. Like, I'm going to focus on the good stuff, you know? I've always been that person, to a fault, honestly, to a fault. Because last week, the day after, I was still like, you know, I'm good. I'm okay. Like, my car's totaled, but like, then I'll ride my bike to work every day and it'll be good for my health. And insurance will probably cover the car. So like, I'll probably get money for the car. And, you know, I am alive, and that's what I need to be grateful for. So like, I'm good. It's good. A day later, could not even lift my head off my pillow because my body hurt so much, and had to like cancel all these tattoos that I now had to figure out how to fit in my already over busy schedule. Only had liability on my car, and since the guy was a drunk driver and a hit and run, I didn't get any money for the car at all. So then I just, all this stuff like kind of collapsed, and I was like, why am I fucking pretending that I'm good? Yeah. I am not good. I'm not chill. I'm very stressed out, very in pain. And now I'm also here wondering, what is it even like, if I, this could happen at any time to anyone. Like, am I living my best? If I had actually died, what would I have regretted not doing? And it took me half a second to realize that I am waiting to leave Denver to go travel and live that life again. And I have been convincing myself over the last however long that I've been here that committing and being disciplined and making this commitment are good for me. Like, it's against my nature to be in one place, and that's why it's good, because discomfort is cool. And working hard, and it will all be worth it. And the amount of time and effort and energy that AJ has put into you, and the amount of opportunity that being at that shop has created, it deserves to be reciprocated equally, and it will, and I will make sure of that. However, when it was happening at the expense of my mental health, I couldn't, after that accident, I couldn't unsee the fact that it all didn't matter if my life was over tomorrow. AJ would never want that for me, that my debt to him in staying here was the reason that I wasn't going and doing what I felt like the purpose of my life was. And the reason that I've worked so hard at this career path is because it is the ultimate freedom. Of all of the art mediums, tattooing is by far the most, for me, I should say, the most financially abundant and time abundant. And time freedom and financial freedom, all of those things. It's it takes a lot of work and time to get to that point, but that's what I've been doing. I've been doing that. I've been putting in the work, and have felt so guilty for wanting to go travel and wanting to go live abroad. And I've had a couple people in my life over the last couple weeks remind me that I should not feel guilty for wanting what I know is my best life. Me going and doing what I think is best for me is actually really, really, really empowering to people. And it's so ironic, right? Like, what was stopping me from doing that was having a really uncomfortable conversation with like one of the most important people in my life right now. And so that's why I pushed the podcast off last week, because I was at this point with myself that I knew I had to have that conversation with AJ and find some kind of a solution. That I'm, you know, when I say I don't want anyone to think that I want to leave Denver because it's awful, it's like, even with even with all of the amazing things that Denver offers, and up among the best parts being the people. People are second to none here. Like, I have met the most incredible, beautiful friends that I will never forget. But, you know, the nature and the art community and the, I mean, just for tattooing alone, the fact that we can blossom so much here, there's so much demand for it, and enthusiasm and acceptance for it too. Even with all of those beautiful, beneficial things, it still wasn't enough to make me feel like I was like actually happy here. I had to like convince myself every freaking day. In order to convince yourself of that, you have to push down the feeling that's fighting it, like your gut.
Right.
Like, I can out logic anything, really good at it, also to a fault. And what I was unable to do was push down the emotional desire not to be here, that I couldn't explain to you why I want to go travel. I couldn't explain to you why I want to live abroad, or why I don't want to know what I'm doing next month. And I don't want to know where exactly my paycheck comes from sometimes. And I just want to be uncomfortable and do, I don't know where that comes from, but I, in order to push that emotion away, I had to keep my mind so busy. But it's hard to say that. And I have had such a hard time saying that, because I feel so guilty, because I have a huge community of like amazing people. Like I just said, all these people that reached out to me after the accident, and like too good to be true apprenticeship, to have someone on your side that is always wanting the best for you and looking out for you and validating that your work doing good and that they're proud of you. And that even if you do or say something that disappoints them, they still want what's best for you. So yeah, that was a hard conversation to have to even think about having. And here I am preaching discomfort is cool. Do what makes you uncomfortable. And then I'm crippled with the anxiety of what that conversation might do. And yeah, it tore me apart. It was just a whole bunch of contradictions and me lying to myself and a bunch of really uncomfortable feelings and like not really knowing where to go with that. So I think there's a couple of things that happened this past week that just kind of, and a lot of them were just conversations with really great people that helped me realize I just had to have the conversation. I just had to do it. I just had to close my eyes and jump. Same thing with moving here. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have to recognize what you think will be good for yourself and trust that you'll figure it out on the other end. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't even bring myself to have the conversation in person. I had to write a letter. So I write him this big letter, and it was, I mean, bless AJ. I was just dumping on him emotionally, and I just need to have a conversation, and I just needed to write this letter so that we can start it, because I didn't know how to do that. So yeah, we had the conversation, and I told him, okay, I've calmed down a little bit. You know, I don't actually need like to leave or be scared of, you know, I don't want to leave Denver like forever. I just need 3 months. I just need 3 months to go live out of my backpack and not have any tattoos to draw for, no appointments set, and figure out what my work-life balance would look like when I came back. It kind of goes back on all the other conversations we've had this entire podcast, the emotional rejection with that partner that I was with for 7 years, losing my dad, starting over in a new place, and all the fear that came with that. I didn't deal with those emotions. I dove into tattooing to avoid them. And so I needed a lot of space and time to deal with those things too. So I asked him for a couple of months, and he just looked at me and he was like, do you even want to come back after that? Do you even want to be here? And it was so strange, because simultaneously my heart leapt a little bit, but then I also felt the like weight of all of that guilt and feeling like someone had done so much for me and like risked so much for me. I literally, he didn't even want to take me on as an apprentice. I like convinced him. I was kind of speechless. I didn't really know what my answer was, even though my heart was like, take it, go. Yeah. This is literally what you've been wanting this whole time. And he's offering it to you because he fucking cares about you. The two little things on my shoulder are like, take it, dude. Are you kidding me? Like, take it. And the other one's like, you can't take it, dude. He's just, then it's almost like you just took what you wanted and you left and you didn't give back what you promised you would. And so I think that was the hardest conversation I've ever had in my entire life. And I wouldn't have had it any other way, because AJ totally just heard me and expressed his grievances and honestly spoke about his disappointments, which I knew were going to be a part of the reality. But sometimes, scratch that, all the time, you have to know that what you do for yourself, the things you, the words you say and the actions that you make for yourself are what is best for everyone around you. Because we cannot take care of anyone around us until we take care of ourselves. The unspoken agreement that we've made as humans to be around each other is, if you can take care of yourself to this amount, then I am now granted the space to take care of myself that amount. And I think what a lot of us lack in navigating that situation over and over and over again in our lives, because we have to, is communication. And that is why I am so incredibly grateful that AJ was the person that I had to have that conversation with. The level of communication is what allowed us to both express that, yeah, I'm hurt, but when it comes down to it, I want you to be happy. And that was where I was at too, is like, I want him to be happy and I want him to make sure that he feels like I reciprocated. I refuse to leave here without knowing that you feel like your return on investment was good. Like that decision to hire me or take me on was worth your time. And if I'm going to leave here knowing that you were gracious enough to give me what you think was what makes me happy, and you think that I don't want to reciprocate that I can't leave on that note. So to answer your question, I don't know if I want to come back or not, because it depends on how that will make you feel. Mm. And, you know, we talked out logistics and we're figuring out what that looks like. And essentially with me deciding that I do not want to come back after traveling, that we are working out what that reciprocation looks like, even though it's not going to be with time. So yeah, we have to navigate that still, but I'm free.
Yeah, I think that speaks to kind of the conversation we were having before too, of like, we're all swinging around on these pendulums all the time. And there is such a balance in taking care of ourselves and prioritizing ourselves, and also recognizing that when whatever that signal is inside of us speaks up so loudly, the feeling of like, if I were to die tomorrow, I would regret this. This is not the way that I know I'm supposed to be living my life.
Yeah.
To know that, and then also to balance that with our relationships and our commitments to each other. That is such a human tension and such a universal experience to like have these dreams or to have these things in ourselves speak up really loudly, but then also to have those other like external reasons not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you're talking about of like taking that really scary, really courageous step of saying, I'm not just going to keep this to myself. I'm not just going to follow through on my commitments because that's what I said I was going to do. And like, I'll check off the boxes to do it. But to say like, okay, I feel this need. And I also know that this is what you need. So how do we meet in the middle?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a huge weight off my shoulders just to write that initial letter. And it was an even bigger weight. I'm like floating around this last couple of weeks, just having finally said the things that I needed to say, knowing that it's going to disappoint or hurt people. Someone that I just started talking to as a kind of like a one-on-one coach, she said something to me in our first conversation. She said, it's not about feeling better, she said. It's about getting better at feeling and accepting that it's okay to accept all the spectrum of human emotions that we experience. That's a part of our lives, to discourage each other or ourselves from having the ones on the quote unquote negative side of that spectrum is doing everyone a disservice. I didn't even realize that I was like that until now. I thought like being optimistic and always being like, oh, I'm like choosing to see the good bright side of things. Like I just thought that was like the best way to be ever. And it is most of the time, don't get me wrong. Like always focus on those things if you can, but do not take away from the emotions that are less pleasant.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones that guide you the most. So yeah, I think another big part of that conversation with AJ was making sure that I expressed how grateful I was, not just for him as a mentor in tattooing, but as a mentor in life, the way that he handles situations like this, the way that he runs his business, the way that he talks with clients, the decisions he makes in tattooing that are either cost him more money or more time, but they are more beneficial to the client. He's so like puts other people before him, so selfless in a lot of ways. And I just feel really lucky that I got to be mentored by someone that was so holistic and someone that I look up to.
So do you have an idea of where you're headed?
Yeah, I've had the plan for about a couple years now. Yeah, dude, I'm going to Australia. I mean, not immediately. There is a few things I want to take care of and do before I leave. But right now, I just need to go live out of my backpack and not know what I'm doing next month.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Open Exploration Podcast. If you'd like to follow along with Kat's travels and adventures or stay up to date on when and where she will be tattooing next, you can follow her on social media at Old Soul New Tricks. This podcast is produced by me, Lily Worthen. Thank you to Poddington Bear, John Sib, and the other unlisted artists for sharing your music that brings this podcast to life. And to all of you listening, thank you. Love to you all. And until next time, happy exploring.